Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
That's Groundhog Day. By the way, a little side note, you know, if you throw your clock when it's going off like that, it's just going to dent your furniture, and then it will still keep going. And then you're faced with a choice. Do I get out of bed and turn it off, or do I try to reach for the plug? And when you eventually decide I'm going to reach for the plug, as you're fumbling behind furniture while in bed, your finger is probably going to come across that blade, you know, the blade of the plug-in, and give you a mild heart attack. It won't electrocute you because the time you pull it out, it's not connected anymore. But then you'll have enough adrenaline in your system that you'll never get back to sleep, and you won't know what time it is because you've unplugged the clock. And that's never happened to me, I'm sure. Groundhog Day, if you've not seen that movie, it's Bill Murray's character there is going through the same day, Groundhog Day, over and over again. The day repeats itself, and he goes through several phases of this. First, there's the there's no consequences if there's no tomorrow, right? And then he goes through a really dark depression, you see there. And then finally he gets to, hey, maybe I could, if this is my only day, how about I make the best of it? And he starts to make the best of it. And I really like that movie. I was actually, Michelle and I were at a church in Woodstock, Illinois, consulting with them. And while we were there, they said, oh, yeah, well, the thing that Woodstock's probably best known for right now is this is where Groundhog Day was filmed. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, go down our town square. You'll see everything that was there, because they didn't do it in Philadelphia. They did it in Woodstock, Illinois. And I said, I see ya. I'm going to go look at that. And so I went downtown, and you got to see Cobbler's Knob, whatever they call it, where they did that scene right there. And you got to see there right there was the cafe that he was in all the time. And hey, look at this. They put that in the pothole that he kept stepping in. Remember that? They put that right there. And so I put my foot right there and got to, you know, kind of relive my own little Groundhog Day right there in the midst of it. Well, one of the things out of this movie that is maybe why it touches us is that sometimes in life we feel just like that, don't we? Here we are again, doing the same thing again. Here we are going through the same issue, the same difficulty, and it feels like it's going to be a long, cold, dreary, dark winter that will last us the rest of our lives, right? And sometimes life feels like that. Well, we're in a series called Fresh Start, and we're going to be taking a look over the course of this series, and we're going to take more on one Sunday on some topics and so forth, but we're going to look at taking a fresh start. We're going to look at taking a fresh start at church, and we're going to look at taking a fresh start at marriage, and we're going to look at taking a fresh start at family, and we're going to look at taking a fresh start at finances, and we're going to look at taking a fresh start at heart. And just seeing what God has to say about this concept of a new beginning, a new start. And through this series, we're going to look together at two concepts as it applies to all of these things. And these two parts work best together. In fact, I think they're pretty related. One is we're going to look at the wisdom of God. And we're going to look at how the wisdom of God applies to our situation, how we can bring the wisdom of God into our life. And the second is the power of God. And I think that's very important. I think that's very important for us today to remember that it's not just applying the wisdom of God, as important as I want to tell you that is, but also by looking toward the power of God. And what can God in His power bring us in our real life situation? So those two elements are going to interweave its way through this whole series, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Exodus 6:1, the beginning of 6:1, has become my favorite verse of the month, I think. And it simply says, "And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do.'" I love this text. We're going to look at a text for today, but this is going to be it hits our running theme. Because Moses at this point in the story had done everything God had said. He had had a God encounter. He had had a change of direction. He had had a calling. He had a direction. He was following after God, and nothing was working. And then God said, "Now you'll see what I will do." And I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is a fresh start with the power of God. He had already applied the wisdom of God, and now the power of God. So, today's kind of special. You may not know this. This is our one-year anniversary. We've had 52 services. Woohoo! Can you imagine? And as we talk about Fresh Start, I thought, well, let's talk about Fresh Start Church, and what a great place to start, Fresh Water, huh? And talk a little bit about the story of Fresh Water. Michelle and I were living in Minneapolis, and our suburb of Minneapolis, and I was teaching at a college, and if you know me even slightly, you know I have a love-hate relationship with teaching, because on one hand, I can't imagine myself not teaching in an academic setting a little bit, but then when I get there, I'm like, why am I doing this? So I have frustrations with the academic system, and I have frustrations with some certain students, but on the other hand, I have this love-hate relationship with it. And I knew I was there for a short period of time. That was what I was doing a short period of time, and we were praying, "Lord, what's next?" Michelle and I were praying, "Lord, what's next? Do we pastor?" I had a couple churches that were interested in me coming. And do we pastor? Do we plant? Is there something else? Lord, what should we do? And through that, both Michelle and I, we're supposed to plant. We're supposed to start a church. And so we started looking around in our area. Well, we're going to plant. Let's, stay in our house and we'll plant, down there maybe. And there was a suburb there in the area that looked good. Talked to the school system. They were like, this would be great. Talked to the pastors in the area. There's a need. Talked to my friends who lived in the area. Yes, that would be great. You should come. But it just wasn't a God thing. And so we began praying, okay, Lord, if it's not there, where? And as that was happening, I just sensed God just saying, where are they? And I knew what that meant. That was something another person might go, what? But for me, I knew immediately what that meant, because I've had a passion, and part of my reason why I like teaching is I have a passion for what I call future influencers. People who do not yet have all the influence God's going to give them, and how can we prepare them for that influence and to have a godly influence. And I pulled together five friends who are in marketing, not what's the best pretty picture, but where do we put the next franchise? And I said, okay, guys, where do I go? And they kind of coached me on this. And we came up with four main major metros: Phoenix, yay, Houston, Dallas, and Atlanta. And as we were praying about it, we just, kind of was looking at Phoenix. And during that time, in a time of worship, kind of like we had this morning, there was a time I just sensed the Spirit, and I felt, you need someone there you can trust, Jeff. Trust with your very life. Trust just entirely. And I knew exactly who that was. That was Jerry. And Jerry had pastored in a church in Minnesota down the road from me. And I was scared. And I thought, how can I ask him to do that? and I thought, I'm going to call him real quick so that I won't chicken out. And so I called Jerry real quick. And I said, Jerry, we need to meet. And he said, sure, anytime. And we picked the time. He goes, what's it about? I'm not telling you, Jerry. And he said, okay. Anyway, I had to, I worked up the nerve, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And And I get there, and Jerry's smiling the whole time. Of course, he smiles a lot, but he's smiling the whole time. And I kind of hem and haw, and I said, "Jerry, you know, look at that Platinum Church. Would you come?" And he's smiling because he'd been praying that day, and God told him exactly what this conversation was going to be about. And I was like, really? Wow. This is one of the reasons why I trust Jerry, is that he prays, and God talks to him, and I just love that. Well, so we had this thing, and I had this gigantic notebook of research, because that's what I like to do, and about where do we go. And so my next question was, you know, Jerry heard this from God. Jerry, where do we plant? And I had these cities open, and I remember he loves Denver, so he's like, ooh, Denver. And then as he prayed, no, I don't think it's Denver. I think it's Phoenix. And I had already thought it was probably Phoenix, and he didn't know this. There's like 500 pages of research in this thing, and the first page had other cities. The 499 pages had Phoenix information in it, and he only saw the first page. Anyway, so I whipped out a map of Phoenix, and I said, okay, Jerry, where in Phoenix? And we began praying over this map. He goes, Jeff, I think we need to go. I think we need to go. And I don't think we're going to find out here. I think we need to go. And so we flew out here, and we went from, we hit all the suburbs. We knew it was going to be a suburb. We prayed over every one, and we put 1,500 miles on a rental car in a week, praying over this entire metro. And we both got hit very spiritually. Do we have, oh, look at that, right here. Now, you may not recognize that, but that sign says Future Home of Centennial Elementary School. Can you believe that? I just looked at that and go, wow, look at that, we're here. But right here, we stopped, and we had a bottle of water. We each had bottles of water because we're Minnesotans and it's dry here. And we went to the four corners. This was fenced off. I took the picture through the fence there. But it was fenced off, and we hit the four corners of the fence for the build site. And we poured the water out and prayed for Freshwater Church in the four corners. And, you know, it was a profound moment. You know, God was there. Anyway, it was really powerful, and we knew where we were going at that point. So we went home, houses on the market. Jerry sold his house in like 5 minutes for every penny he asked for. And I don't know if Jerry knew this, but I did a little research. That was the highest price of a house in that style in that town ever. In the down market. So anyway. 2 weeks. Just amazing. Well, anyway, so we get back, and now it's like, okay, we know where we're going, we know what we're doing, and we have no money. And I was really disturbed about this. You know, most church planters, you profile a church planter, and you know, certain personality characteristics generally pop out. But one of them that's pretty consistent is that most church planters are really bad at math. And that's, God uses that sometimes. But I am good at math, and I know, and I'm calculating, going, this is going to be expensive. How are we going to do this? And so I spent, I love telling this story, so you may have heard this one before, but I was really disturbed about this. And I had a 45-minute commute into my college where I was teaching. I spent the whole 45 minutes just praying, Lord, please, we need Arizona money. It's a down economy. No one has any money. I don't have any money. How are we going to move? How are we going to just, Lord, we're going to need Arizona money. Lord, could you provide Arizona money just by your power, Arizona money? And I'm just praying, just, you know, used to say travailing in prayer. That's how I felt. I was just praying hard. And a whole 45 minutes, and I pull up into my parking spot, and there, it's Minnesota, so we have a fresh snow. You know, that happens every July. And it wasn't July, but it was fresh snow, and there was, you know, 3-4 inches of fresh snow on the ground. And I open the door, and I step out of the car, and look, there's something shiny in the snow right as I step. Well, what's that? And I reach down, and I pick up this. It's an Arizona quarter. And I label that picture. I keep it in my computer. I label that picture God's humor because it's Arizona money. And I went, all right, okay, I need not be worried about this. It's Arizona money. We need to add a few, move the decimal place over a few places, but it indeed was Arizona money. And I got a call from a group, and they connected all this thing. And this group called Growing Healthy Churches Network is a network of non-denominational church plants. And they said, you know, we'd love to have you as a planter. They didn't have a lot of money, but they had a little bit. Their main focus is we want to win people to Jesus through church plants. And we'd love to have you as one. And they provide a lot of coaching and so forth. Well, all of that was influential in so many other stories. I could just go on and on with stories. But there was one story that was extraordinarily powerful to me. And that was a time when Jerry and I met for prayer, and God led me to this scripture. And it's Ezekiel 47. It's our main text for today as we look at a fresh start church and a fresh start at church. And Ezekiel 47, first off, there's a lot going on here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things you need to know about this is Ezekiel is my 66th favorite book. you know, if you ask me a question, I'm going to go to Matthew. I might go to 1 Corinthians or Romans. Or you know, I'll go to about any... this, you know, I like it. I'm not saying that's a you know, it's I like it. It's just my 66th favorite book of the Bible. And so for God to use this book is special to me in that way, because there's a lot of passages in other texts that I have so deeply memorized that I would wonder, was that me? And this is one I was like, oh yeah, that's right. There's a book of Ezekiel. Wow, it's got a lot of chapters in it. And we're in chapter 47. And so here we are, chapter 47. Verses 1 through 12. And it says, by the way, Ezekiel's having a vision. He's having a vision of what God, a symbolic vision of what God will do in the distant future. And here's the text, starting verse 1. A man brought me back, man's an angel, a man brought me back to the entrance of a temple. And I saw water coming up from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. The temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he then brought me out through the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gate, facing east. The water was flowing from the south side. And I want to just back up a second, because I meant to say, at the end of verse 1, the water came from south of the altar. Remember, altar. Verse 3. As the man went eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now the water was a river and could not. And I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank and I saw the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to Araba, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from the En Gedi to En Gallim. And there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of every kind will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Wow, there's a whole bunch in there, and let's hit through it a little bit. This text is just so rich with symbolism and also the context and from which it's given. During this time, Egypt and Babylon were the superpowers of the region. At this time, in Ezekiel's day, Rome was just a little village, and and really the superpowers were Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and Egypt, and they were in a conflict. They were in for, you know, their version of global control, empire, you know, and they were in conflict. And during this time, of course, God is speaking to Israel. And there were two things. The first thing has always been, worship God alone. No, don't go after the idols of your neighbors. And they broke that. The Israelites just, they went after strange, you know, idols. They worshiped crazy things and disappointed and disobeyed God. Well, the second thing that came through the prophets of this time was Babylon is bad news. Do not support them. Well, guess what Israel did? Israel said, we're going to support Babylon. We're going to put all our cards in this. We're going to bet on this horse. We're going to everything. We're just going to, we're all in. We're on Babylon's side. And through this, this time, they saw severe conquest, because they backed, first off, because they were worshiping idols, and second off, because they were backing the wrong horse, and because Babylon was indeed bad news. Babylon just came and took them over and took the Israelites as slaves out of their homes, took them as slaves. Babylon conquered them. And in the context of international conflict, spiritual rebellion, Ezekiel, both priest and prophet, ministered to his people and received a series of visions. And we see in this vision in Ezekiel 47, our ancient future. Their context, in a lot of ways, is kind of like our own context, isn't it? International conflict and spiritual rebellion and people, you know, doing what people do. And from this text, he tells of a time when Christ will rule. This is really a vision of Christ's rule and what that will be like. And so we see an ancient future, but something that's future, but still partially here. Same thing is available right now. See, humanity vacillates, don't we? We're humans. We go back and forth in our relationship with God. We go back and forth. We're close and then we're far. We're near and we're distant. You know, we go back and forth, and we go from celebrating God to serving stuff and self. Right? We just go back and forth, and. When we are near God, this text becomes more and more true in our life. So we see in here what God wants, and that God wants really is life. First, we see the source of the water. The water is flowing from the sanctuary of God, and this is a visionary temple. It's not the literal temple. It's the true spiritual house of God. And so this water is flowing from the south side, from the altar, and that source is God's very presence. And then there's a progression. And you know what? I hate progression. I like instant. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get mad at the microwave. Just go faster, you know? And but here's a progression. And it says, you know, they went 1,000 cubits and it was only ankle deep. And you know what? We're only 1,000 cubits in and it's only ankle deep. But that's not the end of the story. That's not who we are. We're a direction. We're not a destiny. We're not the place. We're a direction. And so there's a progression. We start out ankle deep and then we go a bit further and then we're knee deep. And then we go a bit further and we're waist deep. And then later on, it's a mighty river. And then it talks about the purpose of the river. It says that everywhere it goes, it brings life. And that's the purpose of the river. It's the purpose of God. Everywhere he goes, he brings life. True life. Abundant life. Wonderful life. Life-changing life. He changes everything. He brings that fresh start. Every kind of fruit tree, it says, bears fruit every month. And we see just positive results. The Dead Sea, by the way, all this En Gedi and all this stuff going to the east, what this is drawing a picture, people would know where this is going. These are mile markers that we don't always catch, but in Ezekiel's day, they knew exactly what he was talking about in this vision, that the river is flowing to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has 5 times the salinity of the ocean, and nothing lives there. It's the Dead Sea, and it's dead. There's nothing there. And it says when this spiritual river hits something that is so dead, it's just plain dead, it springs to life. And there is, again, a symbolism there. The symbolism is that no matter where you're at, God can bring life. Just abundant, amazing life. The vision here is fresh water from the sanctuary flows even to the Dead Sea, and it's just changed, flourishes amazingly, and it becomes attractional. It says that around there, it's teeming with life. There's an enormous abundance of fish. It talks about in there that it's for food, and there's a spiritual food, a variety of spiritual food, and it says that the leaves are for healing. Now, one of the things I like about the word healing, in Greek, the word healing is therapeuta. It's very specific, and it's dealing with what we would be physical healing, healing. But in Hebrew, the word is much more vague. And it can mean restoration. It can mean physical healing. It can mean all sorts of types of healing. And so, the leaves are for healing, for relational healing, for restoration of relationship, for physical healing, for spiritual healing. God restores. God heals in a whole variety of ways. And that's what this text is saying. And it also says that not everyone gets it. It says the marshes are left for salt. And it says that those that stand near but do not enter miss out. They miss out on what God has. They miss out on what God wants, on the life he wants to bring. God has a heart for fresh start. And that's important. That's important for us to realize, is that God has a heart for a fresh start. He loves bringing a fresh start into people's lives. He loves that fresh start. Revelation 21:5, it says, "He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new." Everything new. That is amazing. And that tells us about God's character. God is in the renewal business. He is in the fresh start business. He loves doing that sort of thing. That is his joy. Now, when I was a kid, just like Ralphie in the Christmas program, I wanted a BB gun. That's the thing. I wanted the BB gun, and that's what I wanted. And I was 8 or 9, and my parents got me a BB gun. And guess what? I have both of my eyes. Can you believe it? And we, BB guns when target shooting, shot some birds, you know, felt really bad. I got the bird. Well, anyway, graduated on, you know, and pretty soon I'm collecting an arsenal of BB guns. I have the BB gun pistol and the BB gun rifle, and then I need the air rifle. That's the one I need. And I get an air rifle, and then you know what? You can get an air rifle with a scope. I got the air rifle with the scope. I'm arming up, you know, and as a kid. And my cousins were doing the same type of thing. You know, when you have a lot of cousins, there's a bunch of boys about the same age. And my cousins are doing the same thing. So I bring, you know, a couple of my arsenal along as we go to my cousin's house. And my cousin says, hey, let's do some target practice. I said, cool, let's do it. And he opens up his closet and he puts on a garbage can, a big hunk of Play-Doh on top of a garbage can. Says, let's shoot that. And I'm like, in the house? Yeah. All right. And so we're shooting at Play-Doh on top of a garbage can in the house. I mean, there's nothing that could go wrong with that, right? You know, ricochet, hit the mirror, you know, all sorts of, nothing could go wrong with that. Well, my cousin lays on his bed with a scope air rifle and aims for a shot. Now, from the scope's point of view, he had a great shot. But what didn't know is that his barrel's just slightly below his scope, and his foot is right in front of the barrel. And bam! Oh! And he's got a BB completely inside of his foot. And we're like, I'm like, oh, we got to go to the doctor. He's, no, I got a pocket knife. Anyway, we got rid of the parents never found out they were target practicing in the house. That's the good news of the story. Don't do that, by the way. Don't do that. Well, sometimes, right, we can shoot ourselves in the foot. And I have seen it done. And so I know that when we want what we want, right, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. Well, that's kind of what this text is all about. Remember the context of all this? Spiritual rebellion, conflict. You know, they wanted what they want. They shot themselves in the foot. God brings renewal. And that's the good news of all this, is that God loves to bring renewal. And sometimes, yes, indeed, we shoot ourselves in the foot. God loves spiritual renewal. God wants most to give you a refreshing, renewing rebirth of our hearts, our heart of hearts, the very core of our being. The gift that God most wants to give is a fresh start. He loves that kind of stuff. So, how can we apply the wisdom of the Word and the power of God to this situation, to this truth? 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, Paul is talking about another symbolic thing God did in the Old Testament. And he says, and they ate from the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock is Christ. Well, this text tells us something very similar, that God is offering spiritual water, spiritual fruit, spiritual life, spiritual food. That's what God is offering to bring new life, to revitalize, to bring that kind of life that is His purpose. The truth of the Scripture is beautiful and life-changing. I love this book. Beautiful and life-changing. The truth of Scripture reveals that there is a living, personal God who wants to be part of our lives. That's important. See, a lot of times we look at the wisdom of the Word and we say, okay, I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, and not that, that, and that, and good. And you know what? That will always bless you. But the bigger truth of this book is that there's a loving, personal, powerful God that wants to be close to you, that wants to be ever so near to you. So what is a fresh start at church? What does that look like? Michelle and I had been dating a short time. We were head over heels. And we were college sweethearts. And we went home. I lived near Rochester, Minnesota, and she lived near Duluth, Minnesota. If you don't know, those two towns are about 1,000,000 miles apart. They're 1,000,000 miles apart in a lot of different ways, culturally, even temperature. Everybody thinks Minnesota's cold. Let me tell you, Duluth is cold. just a different, a lot of ways, miles apart. But we went apart. We're 1,000,000 miles apart, and we started sending letters back and forth during that summer, and just letters all the time. And I've kept all those letters. They're pretty. You know, I look back at them and I go, wow, this is pretty amazing stuff that these dumb teenagers are writing back and forth to each other. Love letters and our desire to serve God and what the Lord's been teaching us and making some future plans and all of that. I was working hard laying down crazy jobs I have had, laying down irrigation line for peas. Those peas that you eat in the can, they need irrigation. So I was working the summer laying down irrigation line, and it was a good summer job because I got a gazillion hours of overtime. But it was outside, and if you haven't noticed, I'm pretty white. Even in Arizona, I don't really tan a whole lot, but that summer, because I was working outside so much, I got sunburned. That's known big news. And then I got sunburned again, and I got sunburned again, and I got sunburned again. And then my shoulders began to bleed, and then I got sunburned again, and then I got shouldered again. And that'll probably kill me someday, but my whole shoulders got all bloody. And then I tanned. First time and only time in my life. It only takes about 15 to 20 consecutive severe burns, and then I tan. But I got a dark tan, and I grew a goatee, which was even worse than the one I'm currently having, because I was a kid. And then Michelle came for a visit. What a brave young lady. She came home knowing that I was going to be working, came to my house, met my mother for the first time without me there because I was at work. and then we saw each other for the first time. She said she could barely recognize me because me with a tan and a goatee. But we embraced just the longest hug in my front lawn of the farm for the longest time. And I can tell you something. Those letters were amazing. Not near as amazing as the hug. Not even remotely close. So that's kind of the point of Fresh Start Church and this whole idea that God's Word is amazing. It's life-changing. The God of Scripture, embracing Him, is the best moment ever. Church sometimes hurts. Broken, fallible, sometimes oblivious people sometimes say and do things that hurt. Sometimes we focus on the how rather than the who in church, and we, how do we do this? How do we do that? How do Christians do this? How do Christians do that? Rather than the who, the God of Scripture. Fresh water is an invitation to a fresh start, to learn His ways, to experience His power, to change the world in His name. That's who we are. Our focus right now, especially through this series, is to experience His power, to have that moment of renewal where life infuses and changes everything. Well, some ideas on how to do that. One of the cool things about this text is it talks about that the fresh water flows in and renews the salt water of even the Dead Sea. And that's just crazy. And one of the kind of subtle things that's happening there that the scholars love to talk about, but the translations kind of miss sometimes, is that the fresh water overwhelms the salt water. I kind of like that. You know, overwhelm, that's a cool word. So fresh water overwhelms salt water. And that and fresh water, again, being symbolic of the Spirit of God, and salt water is basically everything dead. So I was thinking about how can we overwhelm the salt water in our life? How can we allow God to do that? Well, that got me thinking. That got me thinking to a couple different things. One, there's several kinds of salt in life, isn't there? Those things that are dead and against God. There are several things that fit different categories of that. The first one, of course, is obviously sin. Everybody faces it. Everybody's been there. Everybody has that thing where they say it'll never happen again, and then guess what? It happened again. Everybody faces it. It is salt. It brings death. The cure is repentance. The result of that is forgiveness. And beautiful, experiential forgiveness. Another type of salt I'm going to call worldly ways. And we're surrounded from birth on of our system of people around us, of the values around us, telling us this is how we do certain things, this is what you should do, and you should just dump them and move on, you should just do this and do that. And that gets to us, right? I don't know about you, but it gets to me, you know, every now and then. Oh, yeah, we should just, wait a minute. That's not the way the Bible talks about it. For instance, somebody does you wrong. The Bible says go to them, talk to them, right? And if that doesn't work, bring a couple other people and say, let's talk about it impartially, let's look at it. But no, that's not the world way of doing it. The world way of doing it, let's go gossip. Let's just, you know, stab them in the back and then let's create a conspiracy and get them. and that causes problems. Well, the cure of that is God's wisdom, God's word. And when we follow God's word instead of worldly ways, we flourish. We really do. Another type of salt I call control. And by the way, a lot of churches today seem to end at 1 and 2. Right? Repentance and wisdom. And then done. Right? And 5 tips on how to have a happy life. Right? And a lot of churches end right there. And I think we're missing out. We really do. Because a third one I'm going to call control. And that is, well, you know, I want God's wisdom and how I can run my life better. Right? And I want to avoid the sin. I see the problem with that. But I want to retain control. I want to retain control. And see, that causes all sorts of problems. And by the way, you're missing out on the best part. The cure to that is relationship with Jesus Christ. That changes everything. The result is joy. And then the fourth one is, I'm just going to call fear. Fear with nearness with God. And there's types of fear. I want you to always be afraid of playing in traffic. Always be afraid of. And I would like you to try to. I would like you to be in a spot where you're afraid of the big things God wants you to do. But there is a power of God that is available to believers. And the cure to that fear is trust. To trust the Lord with what you're facing. And pray. And in that is empowerment. Notice in this list that Christ is Savior. He is Teacher. He is King. And He is Friend. So let's return to the beginning. Kind of like Groundhog Day. And where does this water come from? The water is symbolic of the Spirit. And it comes from the sanctuary of God, you know, the dwelling of God. And it said it comes from just under the altar. And the altar is a symbol of the cross of Christ. And so right here, the very core, the very center is the complete Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in every aspect of bringing this new life to us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at bringing a fresh start, bringing the wisdom of God and the power of God to bring a fresh start in all sorts of different aspects of life. And I'm excited for what God will do. Today, I want to ask you to pray with me over the next several weeks. I want to encourage you to pray for your needs and to let others know. Say, would you pray with me about these needs? I want us to become even more of a people of prayer than we currently are. But I want to pray for a deep, true renewal, for a fresh start, for God's hand, for God's power to work in the lives of Freshwater. Make that part of your regular prayer time, that God would do really the amazing, that He would do what He loves to do, to bring life. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful. We're so very thankful that You transform, that You overwhelm salt with fresh. And Lord, we come to You and we pray, Lord, that You would move in power and might in our lives. Lord, I know that there are special needs in this room. I know that there are dark places, cold winters currently happening in this room. Some are secret, some are known. I pray, Lord, for Your love and Your life to infuse that situation with wisdom and power, with just dramatic, miraculous changes that only You can do. Lord, thank You for last year and where we have walked as a church. I thank You, Lord, that we are ankle deep. And I look forward to this next year as we progress knee deep in the power of God. Lord, we give ourselves to You. And we pray for new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.